Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I am unashamed. What about you?
When you travel, I've had some weird things happen, I guess. But it's like the commercial airline industry. You know, the first thing, I went into a plane, there was somebody sitting in my seat. So I was like, I look at my ticket, and I was like, I think this is my seat. And this woman, she just said, she looked at me like, and she just like started grabbing her stuff, just yanking, you know. And walked back.
She's not happy.
No, wasn't happy. And I thought, well, that was awkward. So then I get on another plane. And
so she never said anything?
Not a word. But look, I did notice later because my assistant was with me. So look, the same woman sat in somebody else's seat. We looked back and she's back. She got moved again. And I thought, what is going on there?
Did she just not want to look at her ticket and do the one that was
But
on?
It's so weird to know the protocol on this, you know. So the next thing, I get on the next plane and a woman, a very large woman, sat next to me. And I was like, well, this is going to be rough. Because, I mean, she was basically taking up my
seat.
Yeah. And,
I've had that.
And so she said, What seat are you in? And I thought that was a weird question because I'm in the one beside you, which is what I said. And she was like, what's the number? And so I was like, well, I can't remember. So I found my ticket, you know, which was on my phone. I was looking for an actual ticket. It was on my phone. So when I read it, she said, I'm in the wrong seat. I said, okay. So she got up, moved, which it's hard to know. You're like, what's wrong with these people? So I was like, I'm putting my earphones on, listening to spiritual music. So we're about halfway in the flight. I'm listening. I think I was actually listening to that song Rattle, and I'm kind of singing, not out loud, but just humming. Yeah. And so I feel a tap on my head. So I turn around and
are you in the air?
We're halfway into the flight.
Okay.
And so this African American girl, I thought she said, it's pumpkin. Because I had my earphones on. And the only thing I could think is I thought Kay had a friend named Pumpkin. And so I said, yeah, I thought you looked familiar, because I didn't know what to say, because we've already...
Hey, Pumpkin.
She said, excuse me? And so the girl next to her, which they didn't know each other.
Was she standing up or sitting down?
She was sitting down.
Okay, so she's behind you?
Yeah, she's behind me.
Okay.
She said, it's bumpy. And I said, it's bumpy?
And did you think mom had a friend named Bumpy?
No, I got off the, she knows Miss K. I said, well, why is she telling me? And the girl said, I have no idea on that. And the girl said, it's my second time to fly. And it's scary. And she started saying, help me Jesus. And I was looking around, I'm like, this is not bumpy.
Maybe she thought you were Jesus because she got the beard and the hair.
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking y'all about this. I have no idea. And I was like, look, I've actually come in. You want to talk about bumpy? I said, we were fixing a land one time when I was.
Are you telling her? Did you start telling her the horror stories?
I shouldn't have done that. Oh, Jack. And I said, we went upside down. Before we aborted the landing.
Oh, haven't you?
She said, how long were you upside down? I said, probably 10 seconds. She went, oh, Lord, help me. She got her phone out, and I said, well, you got to have your phone, because I thought she's the second time on airplane. But she said, I got to call my mom. And I was like, they're not going to let you do that, and you're probably not going to have a reception.
So, Jace, so what do you think it is when strange people keep coming your way?
She tapped me on the head.
That's what I'm saying.
And so, you know, it hit me in that moment. This is why I'm telling you this story. I thought, why would she tap me on the head to tell me it's bumpy? Why would she do that? I thought, must be a God thing. And I said, look, here's the deal. I said, my second fear in life is flying. I said, but I fly all the time. I said, my first fear is public speaking. And she said, well, why do you fly? I said, just because I public speak. I publicly talk.
That was a good answer.
And she was looking bewildered. And I said, but I heard, you know, I heard you reference Jesus. I said, but I believe, like you, that Jesus is real. And so I believe God takes our weaknesses and he turns them into your strength. I said, because trust me, I don't want to fly and I don't want to speak ever. I just soon keep my mouth shut in a public gathering. I said, but since I believe God is real, I believe that if I die in a plane crash, he just decided it was time because I am doing this 100% for him. I said, so I'm over that. I said, I have had, she said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I was like, but I'm just telling you, this is a nice flight. You may think this is bumpy, but this is nice. I've seen the, she's like, don't tell me, don't tell me. I was like, okay. So
I like that you first were calming her fears by telling her the worst possible scenario.
Well, I did. And I kept trying to get back into it, but she kept interrupting me, you know. And so when she landed, I heard her back there muttering when we landed, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I said, hey, all right, you're getting there. Only a few more. And she's like, nope, this is it.
So the last one I had coming in, BK was with me. And because Lisa and I had split, she and Carly went one way and BK and I went the other. So we're on our last leg coming into Monroe from Atlanta. And Jace, you and I have been on that flight a million times. A little small plane, only holds about 49 people. And so as I'm getting on the flight, so BK and I are sitting together, you know, she's 13, you know, my granddaughter. And so we did our thing. Well, they give me an upgrade ticket to the first row. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I learned something I didn't know, which is amazing as much as I travel. So, but I was like, well, I'm not moving up the front row. And BK is going to be in the back by herself. So I just went back and got in the seat next to her. That was my seat on my ticket. Well, what I didn't know is when they bumped me up to the front of the plane, that somebody else got my seat. You know, they gave my seat away. So this woman comes back and she's like, I think you have my seat. And I was like, no. And I held up my ticket and she holds up her ticket and we got the same seat. Mm-hmm. Well, then I realized I'm supposed to go to sit in the front of the plane. So I was like, well, just, you know, can you just sit over here? You know, she's like, I'll just sit over here. Okay, perfect. So she sits here. Well, then the next person comes up and they say, you're in my seat. Oh, here we go. So it's just a revolving door. So so she moves over. That person sits there. Well, then here comes the last person. Well, you're in my seat. And I'm just like,
it's musical.
Finally, I guess I'm going to have to get up and go to the front of the plane and leave BK back here. But this woman says, oh, are you? This is the difference in your woman and mine. And she says, oh, do you want to stay back and sit next to her? And I said, well, I'd like to. I said, but apparently, I didn't realize when you got upgraded, you have to go up to the seat. Yeah. I don't want to go up to the seat. She said, oh, I'll go. It's okay. And I was like, thank you.
We need to come up.
I mean, that was so nice of her.
We have Unashamed Nation. We need to come up with a protocol of proper airplane etiquette.
That's right.
Or when you get in these situations.
Because
I don't know what to do.
And you don't have a person. The person in charge is up there, and there's all these people in between you and them. So you can't even, like, we got to work it out amongst ourselves.
But now,
if you
get somebody with people really in charge.
Not really. But I tell you what, they think they are. We were on one recently. And so the flight attendant, it was like we had been delayed. We're in the plane for hours. And the flight attendant was, you could tell, it's been a long day. And I get it. I mean, you're dealing with people. Everybody's wearing a mask. You got to enforce it. And he was an older man, which you don't see a lot of flight attendants, older men. So we finally get in the air. Everybody's ready to get where you're going. It's late at night now. And so he asked us what we want to drink because they're finally serving stuff again. And I said, well, I want a Coke Zero.
And Lisa, well, Lisa first said, do you have Coke Zero? And he said, yes. And she said, well, that's what I'll have.
Was this recently?
Yeah.
This plane I was on, you get a bottle of water or a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah. You were still on the United. Yeah. Delta is serving food and drink again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. But anyway, so the guy says, so he goes, and I say, I'll have a Coke Zero as well. So he goes up, he comes back. He's got a Coke Zero and a Diet Coke. So he hands me the Coke Zero. He hands Lisa the Diet Coke. And let me just tell you, Lisa hates Diet Coke. She could be in the Sahara Desert dying of thirst, and she would not drink a Diet Coke. That's how much she hates Diet Coke. So he says, and she said, I ordered a Coke Zero, and she's kind of handing it back to him. He said, no, you didn't. You said Coke Zero. Well, I mean, he said it like forcefully. And so she didn't say anything for a beat, and he takes it. He says, but I've got Coke Zero. And then he starts walking away, and he says, but you said Diet Coke. I mean, he said it twice.
No.
I looked over at Lisa, and even with the mask on, the look in her eye, I've seen it like directed at me before. Oh, it is not good. I thought
fire starts shooting from the eyes.
Because he called her a liar twice.
Smoke from the ear.
And I thought, when he comes back, I mean, I'm looking at her, and I said, did he just call you a liar? And she didn't even speak. And I thought, she is fixing to light this guy up when he comes back. So he comes back, he hands her the Coke Zero, and she didn't say a word. He walks away. I was like, I looked over and I said,
well, that's awesome.
I said, you didn't even say anything? She said, well, one, I don't trust myself to say anything. And number two is I don't want to get kicked off this flight the way they are now. Because now there's so much stuff going on. They'll just kick you off. They'll turn this plane around and they'll tell you, don't make me turn this plane around. I mean, that's
she actually did the mature thing.
She did.
You never want to wind up in court one day and say, did you order the Diet Coke? Right.
I wouldn't have said anything.
No, I wouldn't have.
She didn't. And you know, and the guy was friendly to us later. I thought, well, he said, and then finally she said, I'm sure he's had a bad night.
You know what she was doing, Al? Because we're in Romans 7, and God himself, through the Holy Spirit, Paul's writing, gave an illustration from marriage.
Yep.
She was trying to teach you that all these times when you say what she said that she didn't say, it's best that you just keep your mouth shut.
That's exactly right. I was so proud of her. I was like, babe, you have grown so much. Because I knew from the look, you know, what was brewing in the brain, you know, and her mom, who's passed away, we always say, you know, Lisa's tapping into her inner Maudie, which is her mom, because it's not pretty when she, you know, in the old days, but she's gotten so much.
I would have never made an issue over a soft drink.
That's it. And she did.
Bottom line is the customer should always.
He should have never said that.
Should always be right.
He should have just said, okay, and not added in the, especially the second.
Even if they're not right, we're giving you our money.
Right.
We're flying. We're talking about Diet Coke here.
Yeah. Versus Coke Zero. Which, by the way, Coke Zero is far superior to Diet Coke, just if you wanted to know that. But, yeah, and you're right.
Now, I haven't had a carbonated drink in years.
When's the last time you had a carbonated drink? Yeah.
I did drink a little small Coca-Cola.
Yeah, like the old with the little bottle.
I've drank about two of them in the last 3 or 4 years.
You would say last 3 or 4 days. You're like me.
Do you remember you tell the story about when mom... her family had a grocery store, and so she would bring a case of those little small Coca-Colas to the Robertson family, a whole case of Cokes. And what happened when she did that, when she got there?
People just came out of the house, drank them all, and
went on their way.
They drank the whole thing.
They
drank them until they were gone, and then thanks for the Coke.
I figured out the mystery on why in a Coca-Cola old bottle it would taste better than when they put it in a can.
Bottle stuff is better.
Do you agree? If I saw one in an old bottle, I would.
We were living in a time frame of worn out house, caving in here and there. And if you see a little young woman drive up with a case of Cokes, I brought y'all these. Well, you know, that was like when she pulled in, people started coming out of the house.
And you had a thought, I'm going to marry that girl.
She'd bring
that's
me
marrying material.
She'd bring me like a T-bone steak. And
really?
Oh, yeah. When your mother pulled up, rig we didn't, and I didn't have a rig. I either hitchhiked to her place or she drove down about 30 miles.
And people would pick you up. That's scary.
Hitchhiking. Oh, yeah. I'd hitchhike back and forth many a time.
It was just a different era. Let's take a break. So one of the things I've noticed about business that's, you know, how you do business has changed so much during the pandemic, because now so many businesses, their employees are home. So now it's like Zoom calls and, you know, yeah. And I'm not sure how much it's going to change even as things open up. And one of the things that one of our sponsors, Bambi, one of the things that they focus in on is human resources, especially for small businesses. And so how you deal with employees and some of the questions they were asking, I thought, man, how would you do? How do I handle it when an employee doesn't show up for work? I want to terminate an employee. What do I need to do? How do I dock someone's pay? I mean, all these questions that happen that you're not sure in this world we have now of getting sued over some issue. And so what you need is someone who can help you with human resources. And that's what Bambi does. It's Bambee, by the way, is Bambi. They give you a dedicated HR manager, $99 a month, month to month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. So check these guys out. You get a free HR audit when you go to Bambi.com, Bambee.com/Robertson. Right now, you can schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Robertson. It was a different era, though, right, Dad? I mean, like, oh, yeah. People didn't think anything about it because was it just less dangerous to think about picking somebody up and driving?
Less dangerous.
Okay.
Because no fear of being knocked in the head. No. Yeah.
Or people fearful of you knocking them in the head.
No problem.
Because today we would be like, you said hitchhiker.
Hitchhiking was a standard form of transportation.
Right.
Walk out on the road. The busier the road, the better the shot.
I mean, I picked up a couple, but I made them ride in the back, and I showed them that I had a gun. Yeah, I don't know if that was right. I said, look, I'm armed.
Back
and
in those
dangerous days,
that never entered your mind.
I said, you can ride in the back of the truck.
By the way, there were a lot of people hitchhiking, too, a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just more of a standard way of getting around.
I want to get right here and go 30 miles up this way, get out there and stick your thumb out. They pull over. Where are you headed? You tell them that's okay. You know, where are you from? Right over at little town, Dixie.
Well, I quit doing that because the last couple, when I said I'm armed, they took off running. So, but I thought, well, I wasn't trying to scare him. I was just saying, I'll give you a ride.
Jez, you fit into the rare category of the hitchhiker was afraid of you doing something to them before they ever got into the
building. Yeah, well, he come up to, you know, and I was like, do you need a ride? And he was like, yeah. And he started to get out. I said, whoop, 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 whoop. I said, I'm armed and dangerous. And he's gone. That ended the con. When I said, I'm armed, he took off.
Yep.
So I thought, well, maybe he had mischief in mind.
Yeah.
Or it just might have scared him.
You know what's interesting is, so when I go to the last couple of times I've been to Liberia, so the gas station, now when you're in the Monrovia, the capital, you'll have like a normal looking gas station. But as you get out and about, the filling station, the gas station that the little convenience store, there's a little lean-to, and there's three or four guys, Africans out there, and set up on a table are jars with gas in it. There's about six or eight, like, quart-sized jars with petroleum. And so people will pull in there, but everybody rides these little, like, motor scooters, you know, it's just like Dominican or Nicaragua place. And then they stack on there four deep. And what they do is, so it's just constant hitchhiking. So I see them, they stop, somebody gets on, they'll hand the drivers a little something. I find it is about the equivalent of a dime in our money, because he's got to buy gas for his motorbike. And then they get on there, and then he stops at the next one, the third gets on there, the fourth. Now this is built for one, but we got four Africans riding on here, and then he's driving, and you see him go, and then he's, and you see,
and they're paying him for the
petroleum. They're paying him, and then he goes by. But look, so that thing will pull up. They'll just pour enough in there, whatever he's going to pay for. But it's real expensive.
That's basically, he's got a taxi service going.
That's what it is. But it's everybody, because everybody else is on foot. Of course, we come riding up, you know, Americans. You know, we're in a car, you know, with air conditioning. They're looking at us drive by, and they're like, "Who is this person?" And we start going out to places where they've never even seen a white person before. And they'll start pointing at me. And then these kids come over and they'll rub my arm. I mean, they've never seen, non-black flesh. And they're amazed. They're like, you know,
What's wrong with you?
This poor guy. Of course, I was telling you, they really thought there was something wrong with you. They probably shouldn't be rubbing on me, you know, my arms. But it's kind of it's a weird feeling to be in a place like that. But it makes me appreciate, you know, what we have here for sure. But their whole system is built on it, which is kind of a sad thing, but also good. So we're in Romans 7, is where we're going to get to today. And it's kind of, you know, back when we were talking about Romans 6, the idea was we were talking about how this idea about it's one or the other. You're either committed to sin and death, or you're committed to grace and spirit, you know, the life that comes out of the two. Basically, Paul said there's no one and the other. You're either this or you're that. And he used the word being enslaved.
That opening line is a weird one. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to men who know the law. Check this out. Here's a statement that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives.
That's right.
I mean, it's kind of like saying the rest of your life without Jesus, without grace, you're going to be under a code that's going to be with you until the day you die.
Right.
I mean, but the way it's put, you know, it's only authority over a man only as long as he lives. You're like, well, that'd be.
When you can take that a lot of different ways. One is, in a practical sense, you only have to obey laws as long as you're alive to obey laws. When you die, it has no more hold over you, even physical death.
Well,
right?
That was kind of his point.
Yeah.
He said, for example, which is a, it's just a strange illustration in the middle of this. He says, for example, by law, so under the Torah, I guess, a married
woman. This is Jewish marital law, just so you don't get confused with
the law. A married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage.
That's not much wiggle room on ways to divorce your wife.
Well,
that's for sure.
Right.
But also, I mean, it's a law that we've kind of adopted, because if your husband's dead, well, you can.
And we
you're like, well, can I get married again? Well, that guy's dead.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes.
We'll say, you were here at Sad. It was said at Bella's wedding last weekend, till death do us part.
Well, right.
So the idea is, I'm going to marry you till death.
God's not kidding there.
But here's the illustration. That's not really the point. The point
it's
is
not the point. That's correct.
So then if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. And that still happens today. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. I've told my wife that. I was like, look, if I die, you know, go knock yourself out.
Go for it.
Take over. I don't care. I'm dead.
Usually with your mother, it's on the opposite side. She said, now, remember, if I die before you do, it's not going to bother me if you get a woman. I said, Miss Kay, here's a newsflash. You're the only one I'm gonna be with. I'm not going down this road anymore.
Right.
You're enough.
So, yeah. So you're done.
I'm done.
Well, I don't know. I'm not gonna make a premeditated. You know,
the finest thing on planet Earth can walk in front of me and say, "What about this?" I would say, "Honey, I've been done." To me, there's a lot more important things at this point in my life than sex.
Yeah.
hit the road.
So, so you can't see yourself being on a dating site,
trying to make an online
connection.
More than sex, but
I don't know. Try to think of something.
Companionship.
On how you would replace your mother. You both of y'all.
Well, I agree with that.
I mean, how are you going to replace your mother? Think about it.
She's the best of us. His point was verse 4. It says, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God.
The greatest two texts in the Bible that you'll ever read.
Really, so I think you immediately have to go back and read Romans 6,
that's right,
2, that says we died to sin. And then he gives the illustration of what happened at baptism. We died, we were buried with Jesus, then we were raised. Then verse 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. So when you reenact Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because Jesus died and nailed the law to the cross, we actually, according to Romans 6:4, we also died to the law through the body of Christ.
Right.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome.
But he also says in verse 8 of chapter 6 that if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. I'm just making the point. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I mean, he's saying it over and over and over and over and over again. Yes. And then he's giving you an illustration that when you died with Christ, you're no longer bound to that relationship with the law, which is one infraction deserves death, punishment, separation.
So
that's it.
So let's take another break. Jay, you talk about being on a plane. It's probably on airplanes or when, especially commercial, is when I listen to music and kind of have to get into my zone, you know, to be able to
function. Do it every time. My problem is I start singing, and which becomes a distraction.
And you don't realize when you're wearing earbuds, you sing a lot louder because you can't hear yourself. So one of our sponsors, Raycon, has some really, really good earbuds. And they get this crisp, powerful sound that comes from them. They fit better than any I've ever worn. I like to wear them when I'm walking, especially by myself. Usually when Lisa and I walk, that's our chance to talk and kind of catch up on things. But she's not with me. I love to put my Raycons in and listen to my worship music. And then you can sing, Jason, when you're outside and you're not really bothering anybody. So Raycon is offering 15% off of all their products for our listeners. All you got to do is go to buyraycon.com. It's R-A-Y-C-O-N, buyraycon.com/unashamed. You get 15% off your entire order. It's a really good deal. Buyraycon.com/unashamed.
It's called grace.
So I want to make a more subtle point here, too, that it's because a lot of people want to, even in our culture today, still want to hold on to some of the law. They'll say, well, you know, this idea, y'all are just too far because there's some things I want to keep. But remember, in this context and situation, and because you say, why does he only mention the woman? Well, the men under this under law had a much better situation because they could put away their wives in divorce. But the wife had no option, which is why he uses her. So my point is, who wants to go under that system again? I mean,
well, that doesn't seem fair to women.
It's not. And that's why he said in Galatians, now they're no male, no female. He goes through the whole list. The idea is that God brought us all out from under the trappings of law, which we find out is sin and death. And that makes it better for everybody. Oh, I mean, that's better for men, for women, right, for groups,
and
for
our
nations.
Policemen that we love. And I don't mean policemen we love our, you know, police. I mean the
Bible police.
You read Romans 6:14 where it says, for sin shall not be your master because you're not under law, but under grace. So my point is, after reading 7:4 and now 6:14, if you're trying to argue over these situations on matters of law, we are not under the law. So if you want to challenge somebody, make sure it's grace motivated is what I'm saying.
So a lot of people haven't heard what you just said, which is true. They have, they say, but I'm going to be in a trap. What's going to motivate me to do what's right, to get up? So if you read that Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit that you receive when you die to the law,
correct,
and are buried, the old you, and the new you comes forth, the Spirit is given to you. So when you get to, you say, well, if I'm not going to follow the rules, and if I'm not on the law, what kind of person am I going to be? Right. What do I do? So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these qualities. It makes an interesting little point. Against these things, there is no law.
That's right.
So you say, well, what zone am I in? Just read Galatians 5:22. On things that are outside the law. These are qualities that should be more and more in your life as each day passes, you begin to hone it down instead of, you used to be a hater, hate each other, and but now you see love. You used to be down in the dumps, don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, that's the opposite of joy. And instead of peace, well, how much war has been going on in your household, with your neighbor, with your family? All that. So you just replace all those qualities. And against these qualities, you don't break any laws. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. No, no law breaking there. So it's a pattern of thinking on how you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, since you're not under law.
Right.
But even grace. When you do, you know, because we do sin after we're in Jesus.
Probably the mediating work of Jesus.
Yeah, and then it goes to this grace is continual. It's not like you're in and out. You don't have to be, you know, rebaptized.
You know, I made a mistake. I'm done. I'm history. Yeah,
let's go again.
I sinned.
Here we go.
Yep.
So, you know, but I do think I need to read the last two verses of that section, because it says, for when we were, this is 7:5, when we were controlled by the sinful nature, by the sinful nature or the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law, which we've already established, the law is not bad in and of itself.
But it arouses
our decisions and passions. So it arouses the sinful passions.
I know I shouldn't do it. I know I shouldn't do it.
But
I do.
Yeah. We're at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death, which is a strange way to look at it, but in a frightening way. But when you think about the sins we commit, it is a sinful behavior is destructive.
Yep.
And it leads to death, right, either spiritual or physical.
America's,
in some capacity.
America is still wrangling with this. And
yeah.
Well,
let me read the last verse and we talk. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. We have been released from the law. So people who have trouble with this say that 10 times. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit.
Yeah, new way of the Spirit.
The new way of the Spirit, which is a grace-motivated, Spirit-led way of decision-making.
Now, from
that's dependent on God and not us.
Yeah, exactly. From the time you just said that, within hours, there will be information coming our way, and all of them will be saying the same thing. We're still under law. You can't write law off. They write letters all the time.
Yeah,
I see them.
It's a hard time.
I agree.
I just drop them over in the trash because of what you just read. So if you write me, said, oh, we're under the law. I said, no, you better not be under the law.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this is why we answered this on the podcast. Well, I want to mention something that I mentioned in my sermon on Sunday. I was talking about my last point was that, you know, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. Remember that we talked about from Romans 4. And so I went back to Genesis 22. But I want to highlight something was said, because I had a conversation after my sermon, which really goes in line with what we're talking about. In verse 12, after the angel of the Lord has said, don't kill him. And you know, I can't tell the whole story, but he says, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And so I made the point that God wants us in that moment where we surrender to him, which we're talking about from Romans 6, everything. In that, you give him everything. That means you can't hold on to some little piece, you know, I'm going to do this. I have to submit. So after my sermon, a woman came up. They were visiting from out of town. And we had a nice conversation. She listens to the podcast. And so she asked me a question, and I wanted to address it today because it's just in line with what we're talking about. Because she said, you said one time on the podcast, there's a difference between happiness and joy. She said, but I'm struggling. I'm not happy about some things. I'm struggling with trying to figure that out. So it was just what I was talking about on the sermon today. Happiness depends on your circumstances. I'm going to decide whether I'm happy because here's what's going on in my life. That's going to determine my internal joy, whether I'm happy or not. But the Bible never says that, ever.
That's right.
Well, I would say, Al, that happiness is more dependent on you, which is the point about the law, and joy is more dependent on God. It's like if you said, we were talking about the difference in hope in the worldly hope, or even in our lives when we say, I hope I went, you know, buy 20 lottery tickets, I hope I win. The difference is once you have God's spirit and you say, I hope God wins, well, God's going to win.
Right.
So that's the difference in from security to salvation to why you're saved.
Right.
Because he proved his faithfulness when he sent Jesus.
Right.
And worked out in history for him to be here. Jesus made all the right decisions, never sinned, and then was given on a cross and then was raised. Well, he did it.
Right.
That's why it says, you know, in Romans 1 that we're not ashamed of the gospel, which is good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes. I mean, this is what our show is named after. Then verse 17 says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. He's the one supplying the power, the plan, and the way to get you forgiven.
Right.
So that's why it's so confusing when you get to Romans 1:18 and go through there where it says, well, God gave them over to do what shouldn't be done. And people use that argument. They say, well, why do bad things happen to God? Why doesn't God stop me from doing that? Why don't he just do what he did to Paul? Because once you're under the law and you go down that road, the further you go down, you realize that I can't do this.
Right. BuyRaycon.com/unashamed. Let's take a break. So the other day, Dad, for the first time, I heard you complaining about you had a little back issue because you'd overdone it. What were you doing? The beaver break, right?
We moved 5,000 to 10,000 pounds of earth that beavers had put on top of it by hand.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know that I could help you with that. That's a big task. But one of the things that you and I do on a regular basis to help with our inflammation is take Omega XL. It's a 35 years of clinical research dealing with inflammation that causes pain. And unless you're moving tons of earth that the beavers have covered
and the pain didn't last but a couple of days.
Well, there you go. So
it was gone.
It helped. And it really has been good for me, too, with the aches and pain. So here's how you get started. You go to OmegaXL.com and you buy your first bottle and you get your second one free. So it's a great deal. Get you started. That's enough to provide you a couple of months. OmegaXL.com/Phil. Or you can call them at 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888 or OmegaXL.com/Phil.
Therefore, whoever keeps the whole law.
Yeah, James 2:10.
And yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. That's tough. That's a tough way to roll if you're going to try that.
You can't do it.
Your point, Phil, the few letters I've gotten about people didn't like that I said baptism is a surrender. So some people out there, they don't like that. And I'm like, but this whole point of Romans is that we're under law and we can't do this. And so when you hear what saves you and who, Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, at that point, there's a couple of things that happen. You realize, I can't do this.
Right.
So what do? You surrender
to the one
who can and does.
So that's
seems simple enough.
So that's
for me.
Perfect. So this woman that I'm speaking of, so then she said back to me, and she gave me an illustration from her family's life of one of her children that's in a bad place. And it was bad. And she said, you're telling me, how can I be joyful about that? I said, oh, you would never be joyful about that or happy about it if you were just going to live by happiness. And so she looks at me, she kind of turns her head, you know, how do I live? I said, but every time you think about that situation, it sounds like you think about it a lot. She said, I do. I mean, it really hurts my heart. Now, all of us do. We have children that go off. Mm-hmm. I said, every time you do, you have to appeal to your Father in heaven, who brings joy and peace and all the things of the Holy Spirit. And you pray in that moment that God will help get through to your child when the time is right, that they'll be miserable, they'll find no joy and peace in the lifestyle they're in. And then you can be joyful knowing that God gives you the strength that no matter what happens, whether your kids go off the rails or anything else, you can still experience a righteous life without being plagued by it. I said, but I just made the point. Don't hold anything back. I said, sister, you need to give this to God. You're holding it, and therefore you're unhappy. Yeah. I said, but if you give it to him and say, look, I'm putting this in your hands, Father.
She's trying to make the changes in her.
Exactly. Now, it helped her. It helped her because she said, you know, I never thought about it like this. Well, that's what this is. That's what I was talking about. You know, that's why I want to bring it up on the podcast.
Well, look, you start bringing up kids. I mean, if anybody's had teenagers knows this gets personal. But look, I've prayed before, which is, I mean, it's kind of a drastic prayer, but I've said prayers where, like, because I'm so frustrated in the moment that I thought, if it takes me dying, if this is the only way this kid is going to have an awakening, so be it. I mean, it's a hard prayer to pray, but you get so frustrated because you love your kids and but you realize everybody's got to, you know, come to Jesus on their own. But that leads me into what I was, because I'm, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb of, you know, our family or just as a human. And so I read the book of Romans, and it seems kind of a complex way in some ways to explain this, because you got all this, the law and even this illustration, and people are like,
some people weren't worthy of, in note of what you just said, Al. They would then do this. What shall we say then? After he's just said,
say where you are.
Where I'm in Romans 7:7. So by dying to what's bound us, we've been released from the law. So we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way. So somebody comes along and says, well, what shall we say? Is the law sin? Well, maybe the problem is not me. Maybe it's a blooming law that you got me under, because I wouldn't be like this, God, unless you had wrote down this code that I had to keep, didn't keep it, and I'm frustrated, and you're the problem instead of me.
And people do that.
Yeah. He said, indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. I would not have known what it was to covet if the law had not said, don't covet. But here we go. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, nothing wrong with the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Far apart from law, if it weren't there, sin is dead.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the law is always there, and it's not going to change. And
which goes back to Romans 1, though.
Motivates me to say, thank you, God, for getting me out from under a code I never even came close to keeping.
The first step that happens way before all these sins is that you alienate yourself from God. That's where it starts. When Romans 1, everybody goes to the list of sins, but the first parts of it were, they neither glorified God as God nor gave thanks to him.
Yep.
Their hearts were darkened. Their minds became futile. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. The philosophy is what leads to the behavior. Yeah. So you alienate yourself from God, which the illustration I was going to bring up, a more simplistic view of this, I think, came from Jesus in Luke 15 on the prodigal son. Because you were talking about your kids.
Right.
You know, that's when it gets personal, because we all know what that means. I mean, you want your kid to make it, and it's a tough time. So Jesus comes up with this situation on why he's hanging out with poor humans.
Right. The people that are in trouble. Hang on to it. Let's take our last break.
And it's like, even there, it's like the three stories I heard somebody say one time. You know, the first illustration of the sheep going astray was it was 1%. Then the woman with the coins, it was
10%.
Yeah, it was 10%. And then when it got to the two sons, it was 50%. Which I was like, or maybe 100 on the...
Yeah, because it was really both of
them. Because the other brother had some struggles too. I mean, nice illustration.
You know, I've never thought of that before. That's pretty creative, whoever came up with that.
I don't know. I heard that somewhere. It popped into my brain. But I don't want to take credit for it. But I thought it was an interesting way to look at it. But here's my point. Going back to Romans 1, and God seemingly contributing to this? Because I got some letter saying that they're like, well, how come you're saying God's contributing to the person falling further? And I mean, I didn't respond, but I was like, I didn't think of that. I read it. You know, you worked that out with Romans 1. Furthermore, he gave them over to do what not ought to be done. I was like, we just read the scripture. I had no interpretation whatsoever. I think I had no comment on that.
But look, all God has to do is not do anything for you to go into that mode, which is his point.
My point is, you see where I'm going in Luke 15. Yeah. When the son came to his father and said, hey, give me my share. Give me a gift. What you think about what God's grace is, the gospel, is that not a gift?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this son in Luke 15 said, I want my stuff, which is a bad business plan. When your plan is to just give me that's your plan. Well, what did the father do in that moment? He let him go. And I think it relates to Romans 1, and because at that point, are you going to convince him? We've all had our moments with rebellious teenagers. Nothing you can do. I mean, you got to.
Until they figure it out.
And which is the purpose when we're getting into why the law is here and why God allows this for us to go down that. Well, what did he arrive at? He goes out. Now, it was fun for a while. And all of a sudden, he winds up in a pig pen.
Yep.
And you would think at that point he'd say, you know, but nope. He stays in the pig pen long enough to where what the pigs are eating, even though they were probably maggot infested, he has now gotten past the smell, gotten past the status, lost everything he had, and is now literally living like a pig.
And it started with the old Joseph Well line. I mean, first the money ran out. Then the booze ran out. Right. Then the friends ran out. Then the food ran out.
So what's happened? The father let him go so he would, and then there's a phrase in there. Because, I mean, it's really about how God's grace, the father was waiting on him. But there's one phrase which is used exactly in Romans 1. It goes through all those lists of sins, and then it has four attitude qualities. It says one of them is senseless. They are senseless. You remember, heartless, ruthless.
Yep.
Well, here's this son in the pig pen, and you remember the phrase that says,
he came
to his senses. And then he starts talking about, I'm not even, he showed humility because he's like, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Well, God's wrath, his father's wrath, which was not a wrath that wasn't based on love, he just let him go because he knew the only way he's going to figure this out is that sin is going to put you in a pig pen.
Well, it kind of sounds like your story.
My story,
yeah. And so he now trying to get people to have that come to senses moment. Sometimes you just have to allow painfully for it to, you just hope they don't die in the process.
Pray for that's what I told her yesterday. Yeah. Pray for his safety, but at the same time, pray that he finds no peace and joy in this life.
But just like Romans, I think this is what I'm going to preach on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
I've been in, you know. Well, I just, it hit me about this Luke 15 when you said that.
In the sermon.
Well, because Romans for me says the same thing, but it's more confusing. I have to read it over and over and over and over again. But I read Luke 15, I'm like, okay, let the kid leave. He was, oh, good time, party. See, I was right. Spending money. I got lots of friends. And then, bonk. Famine breaks out. I'm in a pig pen. I mean, this is like, this sums up pretty much half of country music singers and the movies about them. it always is the rise to the top and then the fall.
And then, and then the second half of that story, and actually the parable is really aimed at the older brother in the story. Because when the young brother.
He got a little huffy about
that. Well, when the young brother comes to his senses and comes home and the father accepts him, then he's like the policeman we talk about, because he's like, wait a minute, I'm here slaving away doing this. You don't even give me a goat. Here I am. I'm
not in the pig pen.
I'm keeping the rules.
And you know what the other brother's doing when that's happening? This is the birthplace of country music. He's out there singing a song about the pig pen and cows.
Because there's a
back fattened cows, and there I was.
That's right.
So now you know where that
there
came
was a
from.
Celebration, and the older brother wouldn't go in and celebrate. the return because he was mad about it, because he thought that's not right. And then it just ends. And it's really interesting because that Luke 15 starts out with people complaining about Jesus eating with tax collectors.
It's a good thing, Al, that Jace, Willie, and Jep, along with Miss Kay and I, your mother and me, it's a good thing that we all had open arms when you finally turned and said, okay, how about enough?
I came to my senses. And it was very much similar to the prodigal son, because I realized I was in a
pickle. None of your brothers held it against you.
Nope.
I think that's the hard part, is trying to figure out how to, as now, you know, we're on the other side of this thing. How do you get people to come to their senses?
Yeah.
Because really, that's the key phrase in Romans. To me, that senseless.
Yeah.
And based on Luke 15, because at what point would you say that this is not working? To me, you would have thought it would have been before we've entered a pig pen to make a living. Or maybe you thought, well, it'd be fun. I like bacon or whatever. But now you're eating what, forget the bacon.
you're eating what they're eating.
And I see a man coming my way with a crowbar in his hand, and he's
You know what's interesting too, when you look at it from Romans 6, is that he said, I'm no longer worthy to be a son, which was the right attitude to have. I mean, he's now realized that he cannot do it. He's done.
Yep.
But then he said, I'll just be a slave. Well, isn't it, you know, in Romans 6, he uses the same terminology. You're a slave to sin, and, you know, offer yourselves as slaves of righteousness. But the beauty of it is that's your attitude, but God makes you a son again. You
know, this is why we were talking about the difference in their culture, because what he was saying was, I'll go back and I'll just work for you. I won't be your son.
Yep.
I'll be a hired hand. I won't stay in the house. I'll live out where the people that work for you
live. But basically, get me out of where I am.
But I won't be where I was. And the father says, oh, no. That's not the way it works. You're a son. In fact, here, let me give you this robe, the sandals, the ring, you know, and the fattened calf, you know? So I always say in my speech that that night that I came home, we had the fattened catfish and had a celebration because a lost son had returned. But that's so much, Jace, is about how then we embrace other people. It's not only just what I get for me.
Well, Jep had a great line when we all had a deal with him, a meeting of the mind, when Jep said, okay, I've had enough of it. Jep said, what took y'all so long?
Yeah.
He was wondering, where were we?
That's why people miss grace, though, because you think, well, this is why it all went wrong. He shouldn't have gave him that original gift. Well, then when he come back, what did he do? Gave him some more gifts.
That's right.
Well, what changed? The guy's attitude.
That's right. His heart.
It wasn't the gift that was the problem.
That's right. Correct.
You know?
It was the heart. I want to mention that I've mentioned it before on here, but I'll mention it again. If you go to iamsecond.com or .org, I am second. They just released a new thing about our stories, and Jep's story is on there, which is really powerful. And when he said that the other day, it just still touches me watching it. Phyllis's story is on there too, as well as Lisa and I, but that's a good thing to check out just to show you the grace our family has received when we turn from our wicked ways. And it started with Dad. Well, actually, it started with Mom and then Dad and then all the rest of us. So it's kind of what's built us up. So next time we'll come back, because right where we left off, there's some interesting stuff that Paul says about this back and forth battle that I think would be good for us to talk about.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.